This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al-atamman al-akmalani ala man ba'athahu Allahu rahmatan lil'alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who follow his sunnah, his way, his methodology, his creed until the last day. My dear respected brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we will continue with Imam al-Nawawi's book, Riyad al-Salihin, and he has a book entitled Kitab al-Fada'il, the Book of Virtues. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll cover a number of chapters that deal with salat and important matters related to the salat. The first chapter that he has here is entitled Bab al-Hathi ala Hudur al-Jama'ati fi al-Subh wa al-Isha, urging to observe the Isha and Fajr prayers in congregation. And we're going to see how Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha, praying them in the masjid, are the hardest two prayers to fulfill. Now here he mentions and he includes the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu wa arda, who heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, one who offers Isha prayer in congregation is as if he has offered salat for half of the night. And one who offers the Fajr prayer in congregation, it is as if he has offered the Salat the whole night. And the hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. So, when you pray the Isha prayer in Jama'ah, in the masjid, it's as if you have stood up in prayer for half of the night. Now, when you pray the Fajr prayer that following morning in Jama'ah, that is also as if you have prayed half of the night, and so consequently, it is as if you have prayed the entire night. So a Muslim, the ideal Muslim, should strive, especially those who live in close proximity to the masjid, to answer the adhan, to answer the call of the muadhin, and to attend the masjid to fulfill the salatul jama'ah, when it comes to the Fajr prayer, and when it comes to Salatul Isha, and all the prayers. But these two prayers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stressed upon. I'm going to move on to the next hadith. The next hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu wa arda. And this hadith is also found in Bukhari and Muslim. And here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they knew the merits of Salat after nightfall, meaning Salatul Isha, and the morning, meaning the Fajr Salat, they would come to them even if they had to crawl to do so. SubhanAllah, the reward is so enormous that had we known the true merit and the amount of reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering, we would actually crawl. Will actually crawl to perform these two prayers in the masjid. So again, lots of virtue, lots of reward, lots of merit in performing salat, especially Salatul Fajr, also known as the Subuh prayer, and Salatul Isha in the masjid. Barakallahu fikum. The next chapter is strict orders for observance of obligatory salat. So the importance of observing the salat, which is the backbone of this deen, or the head of the matter. Okay, salat, as you know, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is like the head to the body. Without the head, there is no body. And here he begins with an ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 238, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى. Allah Azza wa Jal gives us a directive to preserve, to safeguard the salat, to safeguard the salat. حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى, the middle prayer. The middle prayer, when you hear about the middle prayer, does anyone know which prayer this is in reference to? Salat al-Asr. How do we come to this realization? Because there are five prayers. There are five obligatory prayers in Islam. These are the five prayers. The Hanafi school of thought, they also have another prayer that's obligatory, and that is Salatul Witr. Salatul Witr, right? We won't go into the khilaf of regarding this and the debate regarding this. But we know that there are five prayers without a shadow of doubt that are obligatory. Now, if we look at Fajr and Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالصَّلَاتِ الْوُسْطَى, we know that the middle prayer is the Asr prayer. So there must be five prayers that are obligatory. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also says, فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the disbelievers, and He says, but if they repent and they perform the salat, and they perform the salat, and they give the zakat, then leave their way free. Let them go. So one of the conditions which shows the importance of what makes a Muslim, one of the characteristics of a Muslim is that he prays. That he prays. Yes, there is difference of opinion amongst the ulama between the schools of thought that say that the tariq was salat, the one who leaves off the salat, is still a Muslim. But then there is the school of thought, and this is the Hanbali school of thought. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he said, the one who does not pray, this school of thought, the one who does not pray, he is a kafir. He is a disbeliever. So let not your situation be a case whereby you are subject to difference of opinion of whether you are a Muslim or you are not a Muslim because of your salat. Okay? So here we have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. It is the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu wa arda, who he said, I asked Allah's messenger, which act is the dearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, سَأَلْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفْضَلْ, the most virtuous, what's the best act? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا, prayer at its appointed time, at fixed time. It's very, very sad, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, wallahi, that alhamdulillah, we have an awareness and we have many of our brothers and sisters, they pray. And this is a very beautiful thing. But the problem is that I see sometimes is that many of our Muslim brothers and sisters, they delay their salat. They delay their salat. Or they pray, they combine their prayers at the end of the day. Why? Because either they're at work and they didn't pray at work because they are shy to pray at work, or they come up with some very weak excuse that they can't pray at work. Or because they were out in the shopping center or the marketplace and there was just nowhere to pray. Excuses that shaitan makes up. Well, let me remind you of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, "Innama ju'ilat li al-ard, innama ju'ilat li al-arda masjidan wa tahura." The earth for the Muslim, unlike other scriptures, the earth for the Muslim is a masjid, a place of sujood, where you can perform your sujood, your prostrations, and it is a place of purification. There's either water, or if there's no water, there is tayammum, dry ablution. Right? So what is sad is, okay, so you're going to spend a few hours in the shopping center. Okay? For whatever reason, you're going shopping. That doesn't mean you cannot go and make wudu in a toilet. It does not mean that you can't find a corner. Worst case scenario, go into a changing room, into one of these stores, and perform your salat. And alhamdulillah, today we have, you know, mobile phones with applications which have the prayer compass, the qibla. There, or you can carry a compass for a measly few dollars. If you are serious about your salat, wallahi, there'll be no excuse. I just cannot fathom, really. I cannot understand any excuse to delay the salah. Unless you have forgotten, or what, or you have slipped through the salat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man nama an salatin aw nasiyaha falyusalliha idha dhakaraha la kaffarata laha illa dhalik." That whoever, "Man nama an salat," if you sleep through a salat or you forget a salat, pray it as soon as you remember it. Pray it as soon as you remember it. Don't be shy. What are you shy about? What are you shy about? Subhanallah, that shows you are showing that Islam is very deep and serious. When you pray in public, wallahi, these disbelievers, they look at you and many of them are jealous. Many of them say, "Wow, look at this person who's performing his prayer." That means Allah is our priority, not the shopping center and not our desires. Let us remember that in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "As-salatu ala waqtiha." Prayer at its fixed time. And Allah says in the Quran, he says, "Inna as-salata kanat 'ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta." That salat has been prescribed upon the believers when? At fixed times. Not when you and I feel like it. Another disheartens me when I hear Muslims who have early shifts. So they have to start work, for example, maybe at 4 o'clock in the morning, right? So they have to start at 4, and let's say Fajr starts at 5 or 4:30. So they're going to be into their work. So what they do, because they've woken up early, what do? I don't know if you've heard of this. They pray early. Have you heard of this? They pray their Fajr. Wallahi, I heard this recently. They pray their Fajr prayer at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock before its time. Is it acceptable? No. You can't pray when you feel like it. I'll give you. But they say, "You know, I'm going to be busy. And Allah is Ghafoor al-Rahim. I'll pray earlier. Okay, I'll ask you. Are you allowed to perform Siyam Ramadan? Can you pray Ramadan? Can you fast Ramadan in Shawwal? Or in Sha'ban? Or in Dhul Hijjah? Or in Muharram? Can you do that? No, why? Because it's before its time. You can't perform an act of worship when you feel like it. Allah Azza wa Jal, He set the time. Can you perform Hajj next month and it's the month of Rajab, for example? You can't. Hajj has a specific time. Ramadan has a specific time. Salat has a specific time. Let's not pick and choose and make up our own deen. Okay? So we need to pray when Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to pray. So now, establish two things. Let's pray on time. Let's not delay our prayers. Yes. Can you delay your prayers? You can delay your prayers if there is a dire need. A dire need. If there's a situation you're in, maybe you are a doctor, a surgeon, you are operating on someone, it's an operation for several hours, and you need to combine between Dhuhr and Asr at the time of Dhuhr, or at the time of Asr, this is permissible. Or at the praying Maghrib and Isha, at the time of Maghrib, or at the time of Isha, this is permissible. Okay, you are a traveler, you are sick. So alhamdulillah, Islam gives us concessions, it gives us allowances, it gives us discounts. Okay, but we take it too far sometimes. Okay, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you're unsure. Don't just, you know, take matters into your own hand. So in this hadith, he said, "As-salatu ala waqtiha." Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Okay, after prayer at its fixed time, what's next, ya Rasulullah? What does Allah love next?" He said, "What? Who knows the hadith?" He said, "Birrul walidain," being dutiful towards your parents. Being dutiful towards your parents. He said, "Birrul walidain, birrul walidain." And then he said, "Al-jihadu fi sabillah." When he asked him again, "Al-jihad." SubhanAllah, notice how he said, "As-salat," then what? Then bir, good, being good to your parents, and then jihad. And we know how important birrul walidain is. And we know how important jihad is. But above all is the salat. If you get that down pat, if you get that right, inshallah ta'ala, you have everything right. Let's get our priorities right. and let's pray on time, and let's pray in jama'ah, and let's not delay our prayers, inshaAllah ta'ala. Barakallahu fikum. The next hadith, hadith Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Islam is based on five pillars. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa iqam as-salat wa ita'i az-zakat wa hajj al-bayt wa sawm Ramadan. Five things. What is Islam built upon? Five practical components. Shahada, your declaration of faith that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. A statement which entails negation and affirmation. We negate any other God except, and we affirm only one God, and that is Allah. That is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, yesterday I came across a brother, and he's a revert. I said to him, how long have you been Muslim for? He said to me, I've been Muslim for, 6 months. And I said to him, what was it? What was it that, the needle that broke the camel's back. What was it that made you a Muslim? After all your research. He said, I was a devout Christian. Very devout. But he said, there was a lot of questions that Christianity, he said, could not answer. He said, I was jealous from the Muslims. You Muslims, you dedicate all your life to Allah directly, to God. But I didn't want to become a Muslim. And I tried to fight my best not to become a Muslim. Because that's it, you oppose Christianity. I mean, he doesn't know. I mean, Islam doesn't oppose Christianity. Islam is the closest religion and the closest faith to Christianity. And Allah says so in the Quran. Right? He said, I wanted to be able to worship Allah directly. I didn't want an intermediary. I didn't want a middle man. I didn't want a middle person. And subhanAllah, he said, I research and research and kept on asking Allah, kept on asking God, please guide me, until I realized I had to become a Muslim. It's the only faith whereby you are directly in contact with the Creator. When you say Allahu Akbar and you read Al-Fatiha, what do you say? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Straight away, the first thing is acknowledge Allah. Allah is the greatest. He is above all, right? And then you say, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the world. And you're talking to Him directly. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu, Wa Iyaka Nasta'een. You alone we worship. You alone we seek help. Wallahi, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, do not take Islam for granted. There are many people out there that are searching for the truth. And they're going through so much hardship searching for the truth, while me and you here are living it. Are living Islam, breathing Islam. Wallahi, alhamdulillah that we are Muslims. And there is no system, and there is no faith that I know of, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, that has recorded in their primary text, in their primary source, that their religion is the only acceptable religion to Allah. Allah says in the Quran, inna ad-deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam. The deen acceptable to Allah is Islam. You will not find this passage, this type of text, that Allah says that, or they attribute it to Allah, in any other text. SubhanAllah. So Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So Shahada, Salat is the backbone, is the second pillar, or the first pillar after Shahada. The first pillar after Shahada, Salat, Zakat, Sawm Ramadan, and Hajj. So my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, Salat is part of our deen. You cannot say that you are a committed Muslim, a devout Muslim, and you are not praying. Pray. Yes, don't be fooled by the shaitan. Sometimes the shaitan, he fools you because maybe you're not wearing the hijab, sister. Or maybe, my brother, you have a tattoo because of from the times of Jahiliyyah, or you have some issues from Jahiliyyah, from the old times, and you feel doomed. You feel doomed. Don't allow for any sin. Don't allow for any sin to prevent you from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because soon the salat is going to rid you of your bad habits, or make you do something that you're supposed to be doing, inshaAllah ta'ala. Another hadith that I want to mention with you today, inshaAllah ta'ala, is the hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. It's the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu wa arda. One of the Sahaba, one of the companions, his name is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he sent me as a governor to Yemen. Yemen, nearby Yemen. And when he was leaving, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, you will soon be with some people from amongst the people of the scripture. Who are they? The Christians and the Jews. They are known in Arabic as Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book. Ahlul Kitab. He said, I'm sending you to a people of the scripture, Ahlul Kitab. We call these three faiths the Abrahamic faiths. Huh? Al-Yahud, wal-Nasara, the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, first of all, invite them to testify La ilaha illallah, and that Muhammad ﷺ is the Messenger of Allah. That's the first thing. So the first thing, when you come to do da'wah to anybody, you have to convince them that there is only one God, one true God worthy of worship, and that is Allah, and that Muhammad ﷺ is the last and seal of all the prophets and all of the messengers. That's the starting point. That's the convincing point. That's the first thing you do. No point talking about salat and zakat and siyam and hajj. That's the first thing, the first step. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, if they accept this, if they accept La ilaha illallah, then tell them that Allah has enjoined upon them 5 prayers during the day and night. If they obey, tell them about they have to pray 5 times in the day and night. And if they accept, then tell them that Allah has made the payment of zakat obligatory upon them. See how it's step by step, one thing at a time. Don't overwhelm anybody. Take it bit by bit. Tell them about the zakat then. And then he said it should be collected from their rich and distributed among their poor. And if they agree to it, don't pick up as a share of zakat the best of their properties. Beware of the supplications of the oppressed, for there is no barrier between him and Allah. Now regarding zakat, he said, take the zakat from their rich. Now as you know, in Islam, zakat is 2.5% when it comes to gold, silver and cash. Okay? And once you meet the threshold, what's the word for the threshold in Arabic? The nisab. And then a whole year has to pass. What's that called? Huh? We don't have obviously many rich people amongst us. That's why you don't know the terminology. Otherwise, you're in trouble. The hawl. Okay? So we have the nisab, the minimum amount. Then we have the hawl, which is the year. A year has to have passed. Okay? Then you give 2.5%, okay, of your wealth to... Now, it says in the hadith here, تُؤْخَذْ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. That is to be given to their poor. So, some scholars, they said, zakat should be given in the city that you live in. Don't send it away to another city. Based on this hadith. تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ. It's to be taken from their rich and given to their poor. To that city's poor people. But in any case, the situation, there is flexibility, inshallah ta'ala, with this regard. Now, and then he said, he also made a very important point in this hadith. He said, beware of the supplications of the oppressed. He said, وَاتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ, the oppressed person. If you have oppressed someone, and they make dua against you, that dua, that supplication is highly accepted. Beware. Don't oppress anybody. Be careful. You see, if you do wrong by Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah is Ghafur and Rahim, He may forgive you. But when you oppress somebody, if that person doesn't forgive you, then he can ask for his right back in the Akhirah. And he may make a dua against you in this life. So this is why it's very important to be very, very careful. So he said, فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. There is no barrier between the dua of the oppressed person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no barrier. And here, he didn't distinguish between the oppressed person, whether he is a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Islam does not discriminate here. There is no differentiation. Be careful. Be careful. Don't oppress anybody. By oppressing anybody, you are oppressing yourself. Remember that we will stand before Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, the next hadith that he mentioned is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu wa arda. And this is a very, very hadithun khatir. A very dangerous hadith. It is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْكُفْرِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَةِ. He said, between a man and disbelief and paganism or shirk is the abandonment of salat. That's the drawing line. You leave salat, you've now transgressed. That's why some of the ulama, they use this hadith as saying that tariqu salat, the one who does not pray, not because he doesn't believe, if you don't believe salat is obligatory or compulsory, then that's kufr. You have now left the realm of Islam. But there are Muslims who believe that it's compulsory, believe that it's obligatory, that it's fard or it's wajib, but what? They are lazy. I mean, what prevents them from praying? Laziness. That's what it comes down to. Being preoccupied from the dunya. Okay? So, the ulama, they said, those who say, even leave it off out of laziness, are kafir. Like I said, the matter is very, very serious, and you don't want to have a case on your hand where one school of thought could be the correct school of thought, and that is the school of thought that says that you are a disbeliever. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Another hadith, another very serious hadith, and they use this hadith also. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, and the hadith is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. He said, "Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, faman tarakaha faqad kafar." That is, that which distinguishes us, that which distinguishes us from the disbelievers, الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ, is our commitment to our salat. He who abandons it becomes a disbeliever. Very clear-cut words. He who abandons it becomes a disbeliever. And this is another hadith that the body of scholars use. Those who say that leaving or abandoning the salat makes you leave the realm of Islam. Another important hadith related to this topic is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, whereby Shaqiq ibn Abdullah, he said, rahimahullah, said, كَانَ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يَرَوْنَ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ تَرْكُهُ كُفْرٌ غَيْرَ الصَّلَاةِ. Listen to this, very dangerous hadith. The companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did not consider the abandonment of any action as disbelief, except the neglect of as-salat. So you could neglect zakat, you could neglect siyam, you could neglect hajj, but and they wouldn't see that as kufr. But they saw abandonment of the salat, they saw that as kufr. This is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, another hadith that is used. And then we have the hadith that is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, which basically outlines that the first deed that we will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is what? Is as-salat. The hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first of his deeds for which a man will be called to account on the Day of Resurrection will be as-salat. If it is found to be perfect, he will be safe and successful. But if it is defective, he will be unfortunate and a loser. If any shortcoming is found in the obligatory salat, the glorious and exalted Lord will command to see whether his slave has offered any voluntary salat, so that the deficiency in the obligatory salat may be made up by it. Then the rest of his actions will be treated in the same manner. So, we've just learnt in this hadith, the first deed, the first act of worship Allah will question is as-salat. If your salat is good, then you will be from amongst the successful ones. If your salat is defective, you will be a loser. Allah will ask, does this person have any optional salat? And that's why it's very important to have an account of nawafil, rawatib, sunan prayers, nafila, sunnah prayers, and prayers that are related to the obligatory prayers known as the rawatib. We'll talk about them later, inshaAllah. Because the shortcoming that you have in your fard will be made up through the nawafil. And that's why the ulama said, why is it that some prayers, sunnah prayers, have been legislated before the fard prayer, and some prayers have been legislated after the fard prayer? They said, in some cases, for example, fajr, we have two sunnah prayers before the fard. What are they used for? They're like warming up for that which is more important, because you're very sleepy, you've woken up, you need to still, you know, wake up fully. You're about to approach an obligatory prayer. So they said, that's why you pray the two sunnah before fajr obligatory prayer. So that now when you come to pray the fajr prayer, the obligatory fajr prayer, you pray it with complete khushu' and get a 10 out of 10 mark for your salat. 100% inshaAllah ta'ala. As for the salat or the sunnah prayers that are legislated after the fard prayer, who knows why? To make up for any shortcomings in the fard prayer. To make up for any shortcomings in your fard prayers. So we need to have an account of sunnah prayers, inshaAllah ta'ala. Please do yourself a favor, inshaAllah ta'ala, and register your account and set up your account now. Set up your account, okay? And you can start it off with a deposit of 2 rak'at, inshaAllah. Or maybe even 1 rak'ah of witr. Start up this account now, from tonight, with 1 rak'ah of witr before you go to sleep. Very cheap, huh? 1 rak'ah. 1 rak'ah. It'll take you maybe a couple of minutes, inshaAllah ta'ala, and then build up this account, inshaAllah ta'ala, with lots of rak'at. Jazakumullahu khairan. The next chapter that he has, the excellence of standing in the first row in salah. The excellence of standing in the first row of salat. And here he mentions a hadith, the hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, if people came to know the blessing of pronouncing adhan and the standing in the first row, they could do nothing but would draw lots to secure these privileges. In other words, the adhan. Don't shy away from calling the adhan, calling it in your home. If you have an opportunity to call the adhan, call the adhan. And if you also have an opportunity to stand in the first row, you should really fight for it. You know, really make an effort to pray in the first row. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, and the hadith is found in Sahih Muslim, he said, the best of the men's row is the first row, and the worst is the last. But the best of the women's row is the last, and the worst of their rows is the first. The best row for men is the first, and those rows that are closest to the first. The worst rows are the last rows, and they are the rows that are closest to women, because the women are praying behind the men. Hence, the worst rows for women are the rows that are closest to the men. the first groves of the women. And so women should ensure that they are praying as far away to the back rows as possible. In the back rows of the women's rows. And that is the sunnah as we read in this hadith. In the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to gently pat our shoulders when we were in rows at the time of salat. And he would say, Istawu. This is from the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would say, Istawu, wa la takhtalifu, fatakhtalifa qulubukum. He said, keep the rows straight. That's what istawu means. Keep the rows straight. And he said, and do not differ from each other, lest your hearts should suffer from discord. So don't go differing in your lines and in your rows of the salat and entering into a debate or argumentation. Your hearts may change. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you read in Bukhari and Muslim, he said, keep your rows straight. He says, sawu sufufakum. This is from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we hear the Imam saying, istawu, we know that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. When we hear the Imam saying, sawu sufufakum, it means straighten your lines. Islam is about having straight lines. Sawu sufufakum. He said, keep your rows straight. For keeping the rows straight is part of the perfection of the salat. He says, فَإِنَّ تَسْوِيَةَ الصَّفِّ مِنْ تَمَامِ الصَّلَاتِ. When you hear the Imam say, فَإِنَّ تَسْوِيَةَ الصَّفِّ, straightening the line, it's part of the package of perfecting your salat. It's part of the package. Salat isn't just about Allahu Akbar. No, it's about having wudu, perfecting your wudu. It's about facing the qibla. It's about having khushu'. It's about praying correctly. It's about straightening the lines. So let us treat these matters seriously. Barakallahu fikum. And subhanallah, we have another hadith. This hadith shows us a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's the hadith in Bukhari, the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu wa arda. He says, when the iqama had been announced, Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he turned his face to us and said, make your rows straight and stand close together, for I can see you from behind my back. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's like he had a mirror that reflected the congregation. This is a mu'jiza, a miracle. He was, after all, the Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophets and Messengers are given miracles, are given mu'jizat. Now, this, however, does not mean that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always capable of doing so. Okay? As some people might say, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was able to always see behind him. This is perhaps something that Allah Azza wa Jalla only gave him sometimes during the salat. The true position is that it was a miracle which happened, okay, with the will of Allah at the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leading the salat. So this is also an hadith, another hadith here related to this chapter. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to pass between the rows from one end to the other. From one end to the other. Look at how important it is to straighten lines. And that's why the Imam should take his time. Not straight away be hasty into the Takbiratul Ihram. If you're the Imam, then you have a responsibility to ensure, just as the Prophet ﷺ is walking from the beginning of line to the end of the line, to ensure that the line is straight. And he said, he used to pass between the rows from one end to the other, touching our chest and shoulders. In other words, he's arranging the rows in line and he's saying, do not be out of line, otherwise your hearts will be in disagreement. And in another hadith that is found in Sunan Abi Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, arrange the rows in order, stand shoulder to shoulder, close the gaps, be accommodating to your brethren, and do not leave gaps for shaitan. Whoever joins up a row, he will be joined to Allah. In other words, to the mercy of Allah. And whoever cuts off a row, he will cut off from Allah, or he will be cut off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Can you see how important it is? When someone is trying to pray right next to you, to close up the gaps shoulder to shoulder, and they're trying to put their feet next to you, that is the sunnah. So that shaitan doesn't come between you and between our hearts, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu fikum. Another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, fill, in other words, complete the first row, then the one next to it. And if there is any deficiency, it should be in the last row. Now, when you come to the salah, and if there is any position available in that row in front of you, you have a duty to fulfill it. You have a duty to fill up that gap. Don't just stand there. Don't just allow for a gap to be in front of you. By you filling up that gap, you are creating a stronger bond and connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that shows your level of iman and your commitment to the salat and perfecting this sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in another hadith that is found in Sunan Abi Dawood, Allah and His angels, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى مَيَامِينِ الصُّفُوفِ, that Allah and His angels invoke blessings upon those who are on the right side of the rows. So if you had a choice to join the imam in the congregation in the rows, and you can come to the right or you can come to the left, it is best to come to the right. And Allah and His angels supplicate, or they send blessings upon those who are on the right hand side. Now, but how does the row begin? The row begins from the middle. So if the imam is in the middle, and you have lines, and you come to form a new line with another brother, for example, don't start to the right hand side and don't start to the left. Start in the middle. And then those who are building that line start from the right. And then that would get filled and then they go to the left. So this is, subhanAllah, Islam has spoken about all of this. In another hadith, hadith al-Bara radiallahu anhu arda, that is found in Sahih Muslim, whenever we offer the salat behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we like to be on his right side so that his face might turn towards us at the end of the salat. One day I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicating, "Oh my Lord, shield me from your torment on the day when you will gather your slaves." So they would like to be on the right, because most of the time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he completed his salat, he would turn to his right. But there are reports that he would turn to his left sometimes, but most of the time to the right. So the sunnah is to turn, if you're the imam, after you finish the salat, you say, Astaghfirullah, 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 Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Then the sunnah is not to stay facing the qibla, to turn around to your congregation, but you do so going towards the right most of the time, and sometimes you turn to the left as the imam. So inshallah ta'ala, we will leave it off. We'll leave it at that, inshallah ta'ala. Next week, we'll continue the book of virtues and to continue to talk about the excellence of the optional prayers, salatul nawafil or the rawatib. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.